Hello and welcome to the RPG Academy podcast. My name is Michael, and I'm here tonight with two very special guest co-hosts, my sons, John Gabriel.
Hello.
And Jacob.
I'm the better son.
No comment. Today, we're just going to do kind of a quick bonus episode. We had the privilege to go to CincyCon up in Cincinnati area, technically Hamilton, this past weekend. That's actually not far from where we lived up until a few years ago. It's at the Butler County Fairgrounds. That is CincyCon. Traditionally, this convention has been sort of weighted more heavily towards like historical minis and just mini gaming in general. But over the last few years, they've been adding more RPG and board game events. And this year, it was close to like 50-50, maybe even slightly edged out with more RPG and board games than the historical minis. So kind of decided to check it out again. I had the opportunity, had the time free, took my boys. And I say overall, we had a pretty good time. And I'm looking forward to going back. So I'll start with you, John. What were your overall thoughts of CincyCon?
I thought it was a bit louder than the other two I've been to. I think that's just because it had a taller roof. But I think it was just as fun as the other ones.
Yeah, I would say noise pollution is a bit of an issue with this particular con. Just the layout of the room, how the tables were laid out. I mean, they're dealing with what they're dealing with. As someone who runs a small convention, I get it. But I would agree that, especially me having a hearing issue to begin with, it was difficult for me at times to hear what the GMs were saying. Jacob, what about you? Any overall thoughts on this convention?
I thought it was pretty good. A lot of IP. Well, we played two Pathfinder games, and then we played Blood on Clock Tower, still my favorite game, and a board game of like Marvel Strike, I think it was.
It's called Marvel United. So I'm going to get to that. So we'll circle back. So on Friday, we had to come up after school/work, so we didn't get there till late in the evening. It's about a 3-hour drive for us. So the only event we had signed up for was Blood on the Clock Tower, which is a very complex social deduction game. It is, Jacob, as he said, if not his favorite game right now. And we got through that first game pretty quickly, so we ended up playing two sessions that night. So I know, Jacob, you love that game. So talk quickly about what it is about Blood on the Clock Tower that you love and anything about this particular session that you enjoyed.
So if you've played Werewolf, it's kind of like that. But if it took like 12 doses of steroids, it's more like instead of like a couple of people being innocent, two werewolves, a couple of bodyguard and seer, everyone gets a special role. Everyone can do special things and it's fun just knowing that you can at least do something than just like sitting around and not having anything to do.
It also adds in an element where even when your character is eliminated, you still get to play. Like in Werewolf, when you're eliminated, you sometimes get to figure out, okay, you now get to stay awake. So you see who the werewolf is, you see who the bodyguard is. So you can sometimes get fun in that. But in this game, you continue to be a player. You can actively ask people questions, walk around, listen to people. You do get a chance to vote one last time throughout the remainder of the game, but you're no longer allowed to nominate folks for elimination. So it kind of gets away from that player elimination issue that a lot of those social deduction games have. So I know Jacob loves Blood on the Clock Tower. John, what are your thoughts on Blood on the Clock Tower?
I think it's fun, but I think you need a group who really wants to play it. Because with Werewolf, you can get just a random group of friends, never played any games before, and just play. Teach them rules in like 10 minutes. Blood on the Clock Tower takes a good amount of time to learn, and if people just aren't interested, it makes it so much harder to have fun for everybody than just them.
Yeah, I would say not only the learning curve is steeper, but like you said, that sort of interest curve, like if you have two or three people who are not really into Werewolf, they can still kind of play as villager or werewolf, like they can do their part. But in this game, if you don't know what you're doing, or if you're not really interested in being part of it, you can miss some key elements to how the strategy works. And that's one thing I'm continuing to struggle with. I've only played it like 4 or 5 times now, that I understand the very basic level of werewolf, where werewolf bad, villagers good, try to eliminate werewolves, werewolves try to eliminate villagers. But with Blood on the Clock Tower, there's a lot of more meta levels where sometimes knowing someone is a quote-unquote villager or a good guy, you still want to eliminate them because that will continue to provide information, because some people get information as people are taken out or voted out. So there's a kind of meta levels to this strategy that I don't quite understand yet, but I do enjoy the game. And I did actually manage to run a session. I made a couple mistakes, but that's fine, of the game at our friend Jared's house. We actually crashed with them this weekend. And for me personally, that was actually my favorite moment of this convention. I know that sounds weird, but I got to play just general games, Blood on the Clock Tower too. But we just went to Jared's. He was having his monthly board game night. There were like 15 people there. And then just getting to play board games with my kids. Like, you know, they just sort of jumped in just like they were part of the group. They weren't, you know, even though they were by far the youngest players there playing, they were welcomed in and they were just part of the group. And that absolutely just, as a proud gamer papa, made me feel good. Saturday, we went back to the convention. We had two games on Saturday, a Pathfinder at 1 o'clock and another Pathfinder at 6. So the first Pathfinder was a fifth level event. Well, we didn't have characters, so we got the fifth level pre-gens. And the basis of this adventure was we were hired to go to an island and bring back a dragon's horde. They got evicted, I guess. I don't know. It was kind of hard to hear, as John said. I wasn't sure I caught everything. But we were going back and at the behest of a dragon and bringing some of their sky metal horde back for them. So talk about that adventure, John. What did you think of that adventure? Highlights, lowlights, anything you want to share about that adventure?
Again, I think it was just hard to hear because of the loud noises, but I think it was fine. I've played a lot of things before.
You played a witch character, right? Was that your character in that one?
I think I was
a sorcerer. Sorcerer, okay. Yeah. So again, I don't know that we've ever played a fifth level Pathfinder before. Did you find it too complex, complex enough? Did you like what you could do with that character?
I think it was pretty similar to D&D. I just think with D&D, things are simpler and easier to understand and just go by faster, because when I was waiting for my turn, I saw that it took a lot longer than I would normally playing D&D with the same amount of people.
Okay. All right. And then, Jacob, what about you? You played the rogue, I believe, in that one. So what did you think about the campaign or the adventure? What did you think about your character? Any thoughts about that game?
I picked the rogue because I'm not good with magic. But I thought it was fun. I didn't understand everything. I think I was rolling some dice when I wasn't supposed to. But I really liked that ending where we, like, getting chased off the island.
Yeah, the end of the campaign culminated, that's what I'm looking for, in a chase sequence, which kind of played out a lot like a skill challenge that I'm familiar with D&D. I think it worked kind of similarly. There were, like, 8 different steps, and each step had 3 or 4 different skill checks that we could use, starting with like what would be easiest to pass. Like the DC for this skill might have been a 15 to pass. This skill might have been a 20. So you had to make a choice of, well, I'm better at this skill, but I need a higher number on this skill. So what do I want to use? I did think that was a fun mechanic that I had not experienced before. Again, I thought the adventure was fine. I thought both GMs did a good job. We're going to talk more about the second adventure in a second. But my number one complaint happened in this game, and it was sort of replicated in the second, is that the GM was reading the box text directly from the paper, which I get, it happens sometimes. Maybe they didn't know they were going to run that adventure, or maybe they never ran it before. But when they were reading it, they were looking down at the paper, and because of the noise level, I had a very hard time keeping up with the story. I was basically just sort of like, okay, I'll roll stuff now. I had fun. The guy next to me, he was funny. We were making little side jokes to each other, keeping us entertained. But that would just be sort of my, and again, GM did a good job, but that would be like my big feedback for anyone who might be listening who runs games at conventions. If you are having to read box text, I think it's preferable to read it to yourself, even in that moment, and then paraphrase it and like perform it to the table. And I don't necessarily mean use voices. If you can do that, great. I can't, so I don't expect it. But I just think putting it into your own words and sort of paraphrasing and presenting it, projecting it at the players would have been better. Even if I only got 50%, like, or like maybe there's 50% lost in translation, certain words weren't repeated the right way, or maybe certain things weren't communicated, 50% would still be more than what I got, because I don't think I even got 25% the way it was going on. All right, so then we're going to talk about the second adventure. And I'll say, even though I liked the first adventure, I had way more fun in the second adventure. I thought it was a lot more my kind of speed. This was, I think from what I understand, this was like when they're developing and we were helping to play test it. So there were some pieces and parts that they were still moving around. But in this one, it was Pathfinder. It was third level. But we all played gunslingers. So all of us were gunslingers. We all had guns and were shooting things. And it kind of had like this sci-fi Western. It felt very Firefly to me, which anyone knows me knows that is absolutely a touch point that I connect with. I love the Firefly TV show. So I'll start with you on this one, Jacob. What did you think about the second Pathfinder adventure, the gunslinger one?
First off, very fun shooting guns. Not in real life. But in games, it's pretty fun.
And we were fighting zombies, which is always a good time.
I got to throw a goblin. Yeah. I also got this gun that was a sword. So it's a sword gun. I died.
Sort of.
And then that goblin I threw died.
Sort of. Well, no, she actually did end up dying. She was trying at the end to die, and she got her wish, though it was almost against her wishes at that point.
Very glowy.
Yeah. All right, so John, what about you? How did you feel about the second adventure, the Gunslinger one?
Well, again, the noise level, I just couldn't hear very well. But one of the things I started to think about while I was playing was I had this character who had a sniper rifle, pretty much. It said, I forgot what it's called. It was a something tree. But it was reminiscent of a sniper rifle. That's what the DM kind of told me it was. And I was kind of sad because first I get a special attack at the very first shot I hit. I get 2d6s. But after that, every time I shoot, it's just 1d6. And I feel like a D&D character, I know it's not D&D, I know it's Pathfinder. But in D&D, in level 3, I'd be doing more than 1d6 or 2d6s of damage, like, every single round.
Yeah, I do agree. Like, I think it was balanced well for that adventure, but it did feel kind of weird to be a third-level character, and most of the time we were doing 1d6 plus 1 damage. Yeah. Like, I think something should have been scaled differently because it felt like we were underpowered, even though it probably was correctly balanced to the zombies. I would rather we do 2d6 and they just have more hit points or something.
Yeah, or like even a d12 and just they have more hit points.
I agree with that. And again, thematically, you having a sniper rifle where you get a lot of extra damage that first shot makes a lot of sense thematically. But practically, it wasn't fun. Because the way the game was designed, the combats lasted many, many rounds. You only got that one shot.
I think there were two combats.
There were multiple combats, but each combat lasted quite a long time. Yeah. So out of, let's say, 20 attack rolls you made, two of them got that bonus. If that's your thing, you should be able to do more with that. So that would be my feedback for that one. Same thing, the noise was kind of hard. I felt like there was more story and role play in this one. Like even though it was linear, it wasn't set up combat like the first one was. So I definitely enjoyed it a lot more, had a lot of fun. And it's always fun to get to play with you two goofballs anyways. So Saturday night, that is when we went to Jared's. I kind of told the story out of order, but Saturday night we went to Jared's and got to play games with him and his group. And that's always a good time. I had a couple people there that had backed the Kickstarter for Action 12 Cinema. So I got to hand deliver their books, which is also great for me. And then Sunday, we kind of had a leisurely scheduled Sunday. Our first event wasn't until 1, so we slept in, which is always good in conventions if you can do that. We went and had breakfast with Jared and Andrea, and then we drove out and we played a session of Marvel United, which is that Marvel superhero IP game. It came out from Cool Mini or Not a few years ago on Kickstarter. I went way deep on the Kickstarter, and then I went way deep on the second Kickstarter, and almost never played the game, partially because I didn't really know how, and I was afraid if I tried to teach you two and I messed up the rules, it wouldn't be fun. So I wanted someone that knew the game better to teach it. So for this scenario, we played the Fantastic Four, and I was Johnny Storm, Human Torch. John was Ben Grimm, the Thing, and Jacob got to be Mr. Fantastic. And if you're not familiar, it's very much sort of a worker placement type game. You have limited actions with cards. The bad guys kind of run on an AI from their own card deck. So what did you think about that game, John?
I think it was really fun. I definitely want to play it again. Again, it was the noise level kind of stopped it from hearing. But because it was so so much later, I could hear the DM better because there are just so less people there. Yeah.
This was Sunday at 1 o'clock. There was way less people there.
So Another thing, I feel like instead of just having like a small deck of cards where you get every single card pretty much, if you play to the end of the game, you'll pretty much get every single card. I think I would have liked it more if there was just a big deck, and there's a chance that you're like there's just a couple special cards in there that you may never get. I think it'd be a bit more fun if there is a bit more randomness to it, because there were only like 6-7 cards in that deck.
No, it was like 14, but we played through half of it before we lost. So you probably only had like 4 cards left. Like you got through 80% of your deck, either played or were in your hand when the game ended. We did end up in a loss, which I talked to the guy who ran it, who was a super cool guy. We started chatting. I hope he's coming to a Catacon. He did a great job teaching the game, but he even said that scenario was one that he's lost multiple times. It's kind of hard. And you know, again, us not really knowing maybe the best strategies, but I did have fun. I do want to play it again. I would like to play it here at the house with us, under more controlled circumstances. And I think it might be a little bit better. What about you, Jake? How'd you feel about Marvel United?
Well, I was Mr. Fantastic. So obviously I was better than you two, but I liked it. I enjoyed it. There's these special cards called teamwork cards. And like one of them was like a fourth of the way to the bottom, like almost at the bottom, and the other one was at the bottom.
Yeah, that definitely hurt us that his two of his best cards were not able to be played. And would also hurt us, I had the card I needed to do this very thing that would have saved us, and before it was my turn, I lost that card because the game made me discard it. If that hadn't happened, I think we would have won.
We also took out the best card in our deck, the Double Wild.
One of two of the best cards. That's a way to kind of modify the difficulty, and the GM thought it would be more competitive. He thought almost it would be too easy if we didn't, but maybe now in hindsight, maybe we should have kept it in. But again, I still had a fun time. I think the GM did a great job, so happy with that. So you two now, this is like the third or fourth convention that you've gone with me. Jakey's given me the 5 times for him or more. So it's safe to say we are a convention going family. We are a convention running family. So I'll start with you, Jakey, just because the microphone's in front of you. What do you think about going to conventions? Like just in general, any thoughts and anything that you might be looking forward to a future convention? Because we have more scheduled this year.
Yeah, I like conventions. Yeah. One of my favorite things to do is just hang out, have fun, play games. Best thing to do on the weekend.
So now you do love Blood on the Clock Tower, obviously. But like for me, one of the things that I really try to do when I go to conventions when you two aren't with me is I look for games I've never played before. Like that's almost always my priority, is to play a system that I've never played before. But at this convention, there really wasn't a lot of options. So we went with Pathfinder Society games, which are not my favorite flavor of game. But in the future conventions, would you want to try a game you've never tried before? Would you rather maybe play D&D or Pathfinder? Like what's your strategy when picking games for your next convention?
So when we went to CincyCon, again, it's like minis and stuff. And this, the old Battlefields, like, kind of interested me on, like, wanting to play that game.
So you'd want to try to play one of the actual mini games, like the art, not necessarily historical fiction, but, like, mini warfare type of thing.
Yeah. And also, another thing for the conventions, 16, I'm going to Gen Con, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, so for right now, Gen Con is still my personal, like, vacation. So they don't get to go to that one until they're old enough to go by themselves, and I don't have to babysit them. All right, so John, same thing to you. We're a convention-going family now. What are your thoughts on that, and what is your strategy for future conventions?
Well, for the convention part, I just think you should go for either a small convention or a big convention, not in between, because with a big convention, like the first one you took us to, it was, like, there was enough for us to have, like, rooms and split us up more evenly so I could hear people better. And then with the small convention, there were just less people there. I could hear everything better. But with the medium convention, like CincyCon, there were just not split up enough, but there were also too many people where I just could not hear well.
Mm-hmm.
And then for strategy, I think just a bit of both. I just want to try something new and then play some D&D because I do like D&D a lot.
All right. Very cool. So our next convention up is actually Lexicon, but you two will be on a spring break vacation with your mom, so you won't be going to that one. I'm going to DayCon up in Dayton. I don't know yet if you're going with that one, and I'm planning on hitting Origins and Gen Con this year. You probably will go to Origins with me if we can work it out. Gen Con, I don't know. But yeah, I said it before, not always with you two on the mics with me, but I am absolutely thrilled that you both seem to enjoy these same things that I do. And I love sharing this hobby with you and getting to play games with you. And sometimes my favorite moments aren't, like, if I was there by myself, I would have had a very different experience. And gaming wise, it probably would have been better because I probably would have played different games and probably would have had a different experience. But nothing equals getting to play with your kids in a game and then get to play with you, not even running for you. Like, we get to play together and make the same silly jokes with each other as I get to make with other friends. So that means a lot to me. I really appreciate you both joining me here tonight, but you have chores and have to go take a shower, so I'm gonna let you go. So thank you both. Thank you everyone for listening. If you have any comments or questions, you can email the show at therpgacademy@gmail.com. And if you're going to any of these conventions I'm going to be at, please say hi. I'd love to chat with you for a little bit. Don't forget to check out my game, Action 12 Cinema. It's for sale now in some local friendly game stores, as well as online at our website or at Indie Press Revolutions. And just remember, as we always say here at the RPG Academy, if you're having fun,
you're doing it right.
Thanks. We'll see you next time.